సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ చాప్టర్ 3 మునికాండం అక్షర బ్రాహ్మణం మంత్ర 3.8.10. యో వా ఏతదక్షరం గార్గీ అవిదిత్వా అస్మిన్ లోకే జుహోతి యజతే తపస్తప్యతే బహుని వర్ష సహస్రాణి అంతవత్ ఏవాస్య తద్భవతి. యో వా ఏతదక్షరం గార్గీ అవిదిత్వా అస్మాల్లోకాత్ ప్రైతి సకృపణః. అతయ ఏతదక్షరం గార్గీ విదిత్వా అస్మాత్ లోకాత్ ప్రైతి స బ్రాహ్మణః. సో ఇన్ ది 10th మంత్ర ఆఫ్ ది 3rd బ్రాహ్మణం వి సా 2 వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ క్లాస్, యాగ అండ్ హోమ. And we will see some more details regarding these two words. They are used in the context of oblations, offerings, where the yajamana offers some materials to various devatas in any homa. And when such an offering is made, what really happens is the ownership of the material being offered is transferred from the yajamana to the devata. And this is done in 2 stages. Yajamana makes a decision to transfer ownership. Later, he actually transfers the ownership. He executes his decision. So the decision to transfer ownership is called sankalpa. So what is that? First, he holds the material in his hand and he resolves to give the offering to such and such devata. Then he makes the actual offering that is made, and that is called the execution of sankalpa. And the offering part is called prakshepa. So at that time, what does the yajamana do? The material is put into the fire. And after sankalpam, the material is offered. But this is generally done with 2 mantras. Suppose I want to offer something to Prajapati Devata. Then I should keep the material sitting in front of the fire and I should say Prajapataye Swaha. When I say that, I am doing the sankalpa, taking the decision to offer that oblation to Prajapati. It is a sankalpa amsha of offering. I don't actually offer anything yet. And there is a second part of the mantra which says Prajapataye Idam Na Mama. Then I offer the material to Prajapati. The word idam and namama, they indicate the transfer of ownership to Prajapati, and it is no more my ownership. It no more belongs to me. Then I pour the material into fire. So the second part is called prakshepaha. First part is sankalpa. So in every offering, there is sankalpa and prakshepa. The sankalpa part is called yagaha. And the actual prakshepa part is called homaha. These are the difference. So what is the definition of yaga now? Devata uddeshena dravya sankalpaha yagaha. And devata uddeshena sankalpitasya dravyasya prakshepaha homaha. In short, dravya sankalpaha is yaga and dravya prakshepa is homa. So without yaga, homa is not possible. And without homa, yaga is not possible. If you want to get the benefits of the yaga. Suppose we say a person is performing a yaga. Then one should think that he is doing only yaga and not homa. Yaga includes homa and vice versa. So one should not be thinking that he is doing only yaga and no homa. Yaga means homa also. And homa means yaga also. Sometimes it is called homa and sometimes it is called yaga. Now, Yajnavalkya says, all yagas and all homas will not lead a person to moksha. We should not conclude they are all useless. We mean they do not lead to moksha. Even the biggest yaga a person might do, Ashwamedha Yajna, many of those big, big yagas, even if they do, they won't take anybody directly to moksha. Yaga and Homa are very useful for what? For Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata. We already told all that. Therefore, what should be our attitude towards all of them? We should not look down upon them. We should give them their own due. If not, that is wrong. So if one expects moksha, that is also wrong. So don't overestimate or underestimate, overvalue or undervalue the importance of them. Undervaluing means what? Ignoring them. And overvaluing means what? Expecting moksha out of them from yaga, homa. Then what is the right value? Do them to purify the mind and leave them. Chittasya shuddhaye karma. Here, Yajnavalkya keeps in mind a purified person. So when he answers these questions, he keeps in mind a person who is an adhikari, who has chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata and all of them. So he says, you have done enough, so much of rituals and yagas and all that you have done so much. And now on, doing them is not necessary anymore for you because they don't lead to moksha. And only jnanam will lead to moksha. So Yajnavalkya says, Yova etat aksharam gargi aviditvam asmat lokat praiti sakripanaha. Very important sentence. One who does not know aksharam brahma is an unfortunate person, he says. And he wasted his valuable human life also. On the other hand, one who knows aksharam before death, that person only is called a brahmana. We already told brahmano brahma vedanat. A jnani alone deserves the true title of brahmana. Others getting the brahmana title are like an uneducated fellow getting a doctorate degree or something like that, Swamiji says. So it is called amukhya brahmana. They are ignorant people. Jnani alone is mukhya brahmana. He is not Virat Jnani or Hiranyagarbha Jnani or even Ishwara Jnani, because Ishwara also is Saguna only. It is not the ultimate. One has to know something beyond Ishwara, one who is Adhishtanam of Ishwara, and that is Aksharam, that Jnani. So in this context, Aksharam is equal to Nirgunam Brahma. And here we should remember that word aksharam has got different meanings in different contexts. In some contexts, aksharam means maya. For example, in Mundaka Upanishad, there is a statement. Aksharat paratap paraha divyohya murta purushaha sab bahyabhyantarohya jaha apranohyamanak shubraha kaksharat paratap paraha apranohyamanak shubraha apranaha ki amanaha shubraha. Similarly, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, aksharam refers to maya only. Dvavimo purushav loke kshara evacha. So we should not uniformly take the meaning for aksharam. In the Mundaka context, aksharam means maya. In the Bhagavad Gita context, 15th chapter also, aksharam means maya. And in this mantra, aksharam means Brahman. Therefore, we should be clear as to what meaning one should take. So, and when? For that alone, we use Mimamsa or Brahma Sutras. So here we don't justify it, but we only give the meaning. We don't go into too much of details into that. That is beyond the scope of our talks. Mantra 3.8.11. Tadva etadaksharam gargim adrishtam drashtram ashrutam shrotram amatam mantram avijnatam vijnatram nanyadatosti drashtram, nanyadatosti shrotram, nanyadatosti mantram, nanyadatosti vijnatram, yetasminnu kalu akshare gargi akashaha otascha protascheti. Here, Yajnavalkya gives akshara lakshanam, the definition of aksharam once again. He has given it before in mantra 8 in the form of negation. Nisheda Mukha Lakshanam. We already are familiar with these terms. Namely, Astulam, Ananu, Akhraswam, Adhirgam, and all that. So this definition is in a different form. దట్ ఈస్ అద్రష్టం ద్రష్టృ అశ్రోత్రం శ్రోతృ అమతం మంత్ర ఎట్సెట్రా. సో ఇఫ్ యు టేక్ ఆల్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ ద ఫైనల్ మీనింగ్ విల్ బి అక్షరం ఈస్ ఎవర్ ద సబ్జెక్ట్ నెవర్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ దట్ ఇస్ ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మంత్ర. సో వేర్ ఎవర్ ద ప్రిఫిక్స్ ఆ ఇస్ ఇట్ పుట్ ఇట్ నెగేట్స్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్ నేమ్లీ అశ్రుతం అమతం అద్రష్టం అవిజ్ఞాతం. They all indicate it is not the object of perception, object of hearing, object of thinking, object of knowing. And in short, it is not an object. Then drashtra, shrotra, mantra, vijnatra, they all indicate it is the subject of hearing, subject of seeing, subject of thinking, and subject of knowing. And the final meaning is it is ever the subject or knower. We have to be careful. When we use the word knower, there are two types of knowers also. This we have already seen. The mind is also called knower and Atma is also called knower. The mind is knower of what? Mind is knower with respect to external world. And Atma is called knower with respect to mind. Though mind is a knower and Atma is also knower, there are a lot of differences between knower mind and knower Atma. This we have seen earlier. Many differences even though we have seen, perhaps we will see them also in some other context later, but we stress one main difference. Mind is changing knower. Mind is changing knower, knower through action. It is Savikara Jnata, Savikara Drashta, Savikara Manta, Savikara Vijnata. Whereas Atma is a knower not through activity, but it is నిర్వికారా ద్రష్ట నిర్వికార శ్రోత నిర్వికార మంత నిర్వికార విజ్ఞాత. అండ్ ఇఫ్ ఆత్మా ఇస్ అ నోవర్ వితౌట్ యాక్షన్, ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ క్వశ్చన్, హౌ డస్ ఆత్మా బికమ్ ఎ నోవర్? ఇఫ్ ఆత్మా ఇస్ అ నో వితౌట్ యాక్షన్, హౌ డస్ ఆత్మా బికమ్స్ అ నోవర్? ఇఫ్ యు ఆస్క్, వి సేమ్ సాన్నిధ్య మాత్రేణ బై ఇట్స్ మియర్ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆత్మా ఇస్ అ నోవర్. Whereas mind is not run over by mere presence, but mind has to work. Only when mind works, it becomes a knower. Therefore, to drashtra, we have to add adrashtam nirvikara drashtra, ashrotram nirvikara shrotra, amatam nirvikara mantra, avijnatam nirvikara vijnatra. We have to add all of them. And the same thing is stressed once again. Na anyate అతోస్తి ద్రష్ట. సో ఏకత్వం ఆఫ్ దిస్ సబ్జెక్ట్ ఇస్ స్ట్రెస్డ్ హియర్ బికాస్ వెన్ వి సే ఆత్మా ఇస్ ద సబ్జెక్ట్ వి మే కన్క్లూడ్ దట్ దర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ సబ్జెక్ట్స్ దట్ ఈస్ ఐఎమ్ ఆత్మా ది సబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ మై వర్ల్డ్ అండ్ యు ఆర్ ఆత్మా ది సబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ వర్ల్డ్ అండ్ షీ ఆర్ హీ ఈస్ ఆత్మా ఆఫ్ ద సబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ అనదర్ వర్ల్డ్ దర్ఫోర్ యాజ్ఞవల్క్య సేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ద సబ్జెక్ట్ నాట్ విత్ స్మాల్ ఎస్ బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ universal subject with capital S. There is no other subject other than aksharam. Therefore, ataha. Ataha means aksharat anyate drashtru nasti. No other seer other than aksharam. Similarly, nanyadatosti shrotru. There is no hearer other than aksharam. There is no other thinker other than aksharam. This is a mahavakya mantra. And because normally Jivatma is considered one subject and Paramatma is considered another subject and we think there are two subjects. But Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says there is no Jivatma subject other than the Paramatma subject. Jivatma and Paramatma is one and the same subject. There is only one Atma, the subject, which is falsely called Jivatma and Paramatma. There is neither Jivatma nor Paramatma. There is only one Atma upon which Jivatvam is superimposed and Paramatvam is also superimposed. Okay. And another point to note is, while defining Antaryami earlier, we said the essence of Sutram is Antaryami. Sutram, Hiranyagarbha and all, we should be familiar now. And Antaryami's essence is Aksharam. So Sutram and Antaryami are Saguna, but Aksharam is Nirgunam Brahman. So after defining Sutram, we defined Antaryami, which definition was given in Mantra 23 of the 7th section of the same chapter, 3.7.23. And interesting thing is, Yajnavalkya used the same expression there and uses the same expression here also. That Adrashto Drashta, Ashruta Shrota, Amanto Manta, Avignato Vignata, Nanyo Tosti Drashta, Nanyo Tosti Shrota, Nanyo Tosti Manta, Nanyo Tosti Vignata. That was what was said there. And whatever is said here in Mantra 3.8.11 that we read, and it was all said in 3.7.23 also for Antaryami. Only difference is, there it was used in masculine gender, that was used for Antaryami. So it is Nakaranta Pullingaha, Antaryamin Shabdaha. Whereas same difference is, the definition is given here in neuter gender, because Aksharam is Akaranta Napunsakalingaha, Akshara Shabdaha. So from this it is very clear, Antaryami and Aksharam are essentially one and the same. So one is with Maya, another is without Maya. And as was said before, dressed up Aksharam, we use the word there, dressed up Aksharam is Antaryami, and undressed Aksharam is, undressed Antaryami is Aksharam. So apparently there is some difference, because people might now say, you say dressed and undressed, that means there is a difference. Shankaracharya makes a small analysis here to find out the difference between Aksharam and Antaryami. He takes some Purvapaksha also here. He says, Antaryami is another state of Aksharam, of Shakti, or Shakti of Aksharam, or Antaryami is a product of Aksharam. And Shankaracharya rules out all three. If Antaryami is another state or another Shakti or is a product, he rules out all of them. Antaryami is not a state of Aksharam because Aksharam does not have different states at all. It is Nirgunam Brahman, has no states at all. Because if Nirgunam Brahman has different states, it means it undergoes changes. Like for example, take water. Water has three states. We have got liquid water, we have solid water, we have gaseous water. Solid water is I, gaseous was vapor, and liquid water. This is possible for water because water is subject to change. Similarly, we cannot say Nirgunam Brahman is liquid state also, is Hiranyagarbha and all that in solid state, is Virat, and gaseous state is Antaryami. We cannot say those things also. Such statement is wrong. So Shankaracharya rules out that Nirguna Brahma, you know, the Antaryami is not near those states. And then Shankaracharya also rules out that Antaryami has Shakti or power of Akshara. Because Shakti is also something which changes. It becomes more, it becomes less. When I was young, I had more Shakti. When I am old, I have less Shakti. So it always changes. We had Shakti before, now we don't. So it is subject to fluctuation. If Shakti belongs to Nirguna Brahman, then Nirguna Brahman also will be subject to fluctuation. So we cannot say Antaryami is Shakti of Nirguna Brahman also. And Shankaracharya says Antaryami cannot be a product of Aksharam Brahman, Nirguna Brahman also, because Nirguna Brahman is neither Karanam nor Karyam. Anyatra Dharmatim, Anyatra Dharmatim, Anyatra Asmati Kritakrita. So we already saw that thing in Kadavaksha. So Nirguna Brahman is not a Karanam instrument, and therefore Antaryami cannot be a product of Nirguna Brahman. Nirguna is not a Karanam. Then what is Antaryami then? Shankaracharya says Antaryami is a superimposition on Nirguna Brahman, just as the snake is a superimposition on the rope. Therefore, Antaryami is less real, and it is only Vyavaharika Satyam. Whereas Nirguna Brahman is more real, and therefore it is Paramarthika Satyam. We should understand all this less real and more real and all those things. We have used those terms much earlier. Therefore, Aksharam Brahman expressed at a lower level is Antaryami. Lower level means here as Vyavaharika level. And Antaryami itself looked from higher level is Akshara. That means Paramarthika Drishtya Antaryami Eva Aksharam Bhavati. And Vyavaharika Drishtya Aksharam Eva Antaryami Bhavati. I hope it's clear now. So it is just like saying Aham Brahma Asmi. At other times I say I am a teacher. So which is correct? When I look at myself from Vyavaharika Drishti, I am a teacher. From Paramarthika Drishti, Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahman. Therefore, Vachyartha is teacher, Lakshyartha is Brahman. Therefore, Antaryami is Lakshyartha is Akshara. And therefore, we can use the same definition for Antaryami and Akshara. Therefore, Yajnavalkya repeats the same definition for both. We started with that in section 7 also, we said the same definition. And Yajnavalkya gives the same definition here also. We are trying to explain that. Having given the definition, now Yajnavalkya concludes, Yetasminnum kalu akshare gargi akashaha otascha protascha. To refresh, now we also are familiar with the votam, protam and all those words. We said that the whole world is supported by Sutram Hiranyagarbha. And we said Sutra is supported by Antaryami Ishvara. But we did not use the word Antaryami or Ishvara, but we use another word, Akashaha. In this context, Akasha is not the space. We already mentioned that earlier. But Akasha is equal to Antaryami or Ishvara. Therefore, world is supported by Sutram, and Sutram is supported by Akasha. Then Gargi asks the question, who supports Akasha? This question comes in mantra 3.8.7. Akashe eva tadotancha prodancheti. Asmin kalu akashaha otascha protascheti. That was what asked in question in mantra 7. Supporting Akasha, Yajnavalkya introduced Aksharam Brahma from mantra 8 onwards. Now he concludes, Yetasmin kalu akshare, in this Aksharam Brahma, is Nirgunam Brahman alone. Akashaha otascha protascha. And here we should note that Akasha is Ishvara, where Antaryami is based. So, O Gargim, and actually when Krishna says in Manushim Tanumashritam Parambhavam Ajanantaha. So, people worship me as a person without knowing my Parambhavam. That's what Krishna said. By Parambhavam, Krishna refers not to Virat Bhavam or Sutra or Ishvara Bhavam, but Astulam, Ananu, Akhraswam, Adhirgam, that Aksharam or Nirgunam Brahma. Shloka 3.8.12. Sahovacham Brahmana Bhagavantaha Tadeva Bahuman Yedvam Yatasman Namaskarenam Muchedvam Navai Jatum Yushmaka Vimam Kaschid Brahmodyam Jeteti Tatoha Vachak Navim Upara Ramam Ityashtamam Brahmana. This concludes the 8th Brahmanam. So Gargi asked 2 questions. Actually, she's threatening Yajnavalkya. She said, I am like a powerful king. He compared like Janaka and all those people. And have come with 2 sharp arrows. One arrow is question regarding Hiranyagarbha Adhishtanam. And another arrow is question regarding Ishwarasya Adhishtanam and all that. And Yajnavalkya has answered both the questions. Hiranyagarbha Adhishtanam is Ishvara. And Ishvara Adhishtanam is Aksharam. And Yajnavalkya has successfully defined Aksharam also. Even though it is beyond definition, he gave 2 definitions for Aksharam. First is Astulam, Ananu, Akhraswam, etc., Adhirgam and all that. And the second is Adrishtam, Drashtu, Ashrutam, Shrotru, Amatam, Mantru, Avijnatam, Vijnatru and all that. To put in simple language, Aksharam is Sarva Sakshi. Now, Gargi is totally satisfied. Therefore, what Gargi says, she wants to withdraw. So, if she does, then another person might come and again come to challenge Yajnavalkya. Therefore, she reminds whatever she said before when she came. She said, hey, Brahmanas, I will ask 2 tough questions. And if Yajnavalkya answers those questions, it means Yajnavalkya is undefeatable. Therefore, if I withdraw, let Yajnavalkya, what she should do? he can take all the cows and go away. She said, if I am won over by Yajnavalkya, then all those things, are, they belong to him, and no one else need to come forward to challenge Yajnavalkya. No one can defeat him. So she reminds one, again, this in this last shloka, Saha Uvacha. She says, Sa means here Gargi, Ha Uvacha, she says, Brahmanaha, Bhagavantaha, Tadeva Bahu Manyedvam. Hey, Venerable Brahmanas, Manyedvam is actually Vedic, so it should be Manyedvam, Mandadu. So, Bahu Manyedvam, may you all honor my previous request. Tad. Her request was what? If Yajnavalkya answers my questions, he should be led to take all the cows. Yet Namaskarena Bujyedvam. Here also Bujyedvam is also Vedic usage. Should be Bujyedvam, Bujyatu again. May you take leave of him. How? Namaskarena. By offering namaskarams to him. Why? Navai Jatu Yushmakam Kaschit Imam Jeta. Certainly none of you can defeat this Yajnavalkya in argument or discussing Brahman with him. In what? Brahmodyam prati. In the field of Vedic knowledge, here Brahma refers to Vedas, Vedic knowledge. No one can challenge Yajnavalkya. And having given this suggestion to all, Tatoha, thereafter, Vachaknavi Upara Rama. So Brahmavadini Gargi Vachaknavi withdrew. With this, the eighth Brahmanam is over. Then comes one more challenger. Even though she made a request not to come forward to challenge Yajnavalkya anymore, still one more person comes in the last Brahmanam, the ninth Brahmanam, Mantra 3.9.1. Let us read. Atahainam vidagdaham shakalyaha prapratpapracham kati deva yajnavalkyeti sahayetasya eva sayetaya eva nidita pratipede yavanto vaishvadevasya nividi uchyante trayaschatricha shatam trayaschatricha sahasreti omiti ho vacham katyeva deva yajnavalkyeti trayastrimshaditim omiti ho vacham katyeva deva yajnavalkyeti shaditim omiti ho vacham katyeva deva yajnavalkyeti trayayiti omiti ho vacham katyeva deva yajnavalkyeti dvavitim omiti ho vacham katyeva deva yajnavalkyeti adhardha ititi adhartha iti adhyat adhyardha iti omiti ho vacham katyeva deva yajnavalkyeti eka iti omiti ho vacham katamete trayascha tricha shata trayascha tricha sahasreti. Lot of numbers. So in this Brahmanam, the first part deals with Hiranyagarbha's mahima, or the glory of Hiranyagarbha, from number 1 to the 9th verse. And this glory is presented as an answer to a question asked by Rishi Shakalyaha. Shakalyaha is another Rishi. And after Gargi withdrew, another Rishi comes to challenge Yajnavalkya, and he is the final challenger, and his name is Vidagdaha and Shakalyaha. Vidagdaha, again two names here. Vidagdaha, one name, and Shakalyaha is another name. Same person. And here what Yajnavalkya wants to point out is, one Hiranyagarbha alone manifests as the countless number of devatas. And therefore, that Hiranyagarbha alone is one devata, and sometimes he appears as two devatas, sometimes as three devatas, sometimes as six devatas, sometimes as 33 devatas, or 3,306 devatas, and as Ananta devatas. So now we have to explain all these numbers. So 1, 2, 3, 6, 33, 3,306, and Ananta. So all these are different facets. different expressions, different glories, manifestations of one Hiranyagarbha only. And to get all the answers, Shakalya repeatedly asks questions to Yajnavalkya. How many devatas are there? First answer is Ananta devatas. And then Yajnavalkya informs the number of as 3,306. Then Shakalya asks questions regarding the number once again. And Yajnavalkya answers 33. Next time when the question was asked, he answers 6. Next time 3. And then 2. And thereafter as 1. And 1.5 actually. 1.5. And finally he concludes saying that there is only one devata with 7 different expressions. So that is why we find Kati Eva Devaha. That question is repeated many times. Kati means how many. Shakalya asks the question 7 times. Katyeva. Since this is the Upasana part, we will not go too much into the details of all the things. The first answer we have to supply. That is Anantaha Devataha. Devatas are Anantaha. In fact. And first time he gives this answer. Trayascha Tricha Shata. Trayascha Tricha Sahasra. So Trayascha Tricha Shata means 3 plus 3 into 100. Shata means 100. So that is 303. 3 plus 3 times 100 equals 303. Then Trayascha Tricha Sahasra. 3 plus 3 times 1000 Sahasra is 3003. So 3003 plus 303 becomes 3306. And second time Yajnavalkya answers 33. Trayastrimshate. Third time he says Shaditi, 6. Fourth time he says Trayaha, 3. Fifth time he says Dvau Iti, 2. They have 2 devatas. So sixth time Adhyartha Iti. Adhyartha means 1.5. And finally Ekaha Iti, only 1. So, and after each time the answer is given, Shakalya says Om Iti Ha Uvacha. It is repeated. Okay, your answer is correct. To say that, he says Om. And we will see one particular word in detail here, namely Nivit. There is a word called Nivit. There is a portion in the Vedas, and that is called Vaishvadeva Shastra. Name of a stotram, it is a hymn, glorifying mantra of the devatas. And the word Shastram is especially used when Shruti occurs in Rigveda. When there is a stuti in Rigveda, this word is used. So it's called Shastra. So this particular stotram is called Vaishvadeva Shastra. And in this stotram, there are certain mantra, they talk about the number of devatas. This is Rigveda. So the number revealing statement is called Nivit. That's what we started to explain. What is Nivit? Nivit reveals the number. So the Sankhya Vachaka Vakya, a statement that reveals the number of devatas. And here, Trayascha Tricha Shata, Trayascha Tricha Sahasra, it is called a Nivid Vakyam, occurring in Vaishvadeva Shastra. It is only a technical expression, the word Nivid. Now, Yajnavalkya answered all the 7 questions in 7 different ways. Here afterwards, Shakalya is going to ask the names of the devatas, the various devatas. He is going to ask the names of the devatas. So Shakalya is going to ask the names of the devatas now. And given in the first mantra, in the last portion, he says, Katamete Trayascha Tricha Shata Trayascha Tricha Sahasra Iti. You tell me who are the names of the, what are the names of the 3,306 devatas. Suppose Yajnavalkya begins to enumerate all the devatas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself is already very big. And then if all these names he started to give, then it will become almost endless. Hence Yajnavalkya gives a very simple answer. And for the later question, he gives the names of the devatas. We find them actually in the following mantras. Let us read those mantras. 3.9.2. Sahovacha Mahimana Eva Yesha Mete त्रयस्त्रिंशत् देव देवा इति कथमेते त्रयस्त्रिंशदिति अष्टौ वसवः एकादश रुद्राः द्वादश आदित्याः ते एकत्रिंशत् इन्द्रश्चैव प्रजापतिश्च त्रयस्त्रिंशाविधि. So Yajnavalkya points out that it is difficult to name all the 3,306 devatas because only 33 devatas are well known, famous, and their names alone can be enumerated. So 3,306 devatas cannot be enumerated. Then what to call them? Yajnavalkya says, Mahimanaha eva yesham ete. All those 3,306 devatas are only mahimanaha, expressions, facets of these 33 devatas. Only their manifestations. And who are very well known? Trayastrimshat deva devaha iti. Only 33 of them are very well known or very famous. Then Shakalya asks Yajnavalkya, if you don't want to name 3,306 devatas, now please tell me, who are the 33 devatas? The 33 devatas. So, katamete trayastrimshat iti. And Yajnavalkya says that it is easy for me to enumerate the 33 devatas. Who are them? Ashtav vasavaha, the 8 vasus. Ekadasha rudraha, the 11 rudras. And dvadasha adityaha, the 12 adityas. That is 8 plus 11 plus 12 is 31. Te eka trimshate. So these three put together is 31 devatas, and then Indrascha, Prajapatischa. Add to them Indra and Prajapati, that will make 33 devatas. Still the answer is incomplete. Shakalya is not happy. Now question is, who are the 8 Vasus, the 11 Rudras and 12 Adityas? Remember, Yajnavalkya will get the cows only if he is an expert in Purva Bhaga also and Vedanta part also. Veda includes Karmakanda as well as Jnanakanda. We should remember the context also. Why Yajnavalkya is grilled so much? Because he can get the title Brahmavitra. It is in this context Shakalya is grilling Yajnavalkya with questions on Veda Purva Bhaga, Karmakanda portion. Yajnavalkya answers all questions successfully. Let us read mantra 3.9.3. Kathame vasava iti agnischa prithivicha vayuscha antarikshancha adityascha dyauscha chandramascha nakshatranicha yete vasavaha yeshetuhi idam sarvam hitamiti tasmad vasava iti. Shakalya asks, what are the 8 vasus? Yajnavalkya enumerates them as Agni, the fire, Prithivi, earth, Vayu, wind or air, Antariksham, the intermediary space, and Adityaha, sun, Dyauhu, the heaven, and Chandrama, moon, and Nakshatrani, the stars. So the 8 are called Ashtavasus. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad defines Vasus as Sarvam Hitam. Wealth of the creation is hidden in these Vasus. Wealth. Therefore, it's called Ashtavasavaha. Then mantra number 4. Katame Rudra Iti Dasheme Purushe Pranaha Atmaika Dashaha Te Yada Asmacharirat Martyadutkramantim Atarodayanti, Tadyadrodayanti, Tasmadrudra iti. Who are the Ekadasha Rudras, the 11 Rudras? Here Yajnavalkya gives a subjective interpretation. He says, Ekadasha Rudras are the 10 Indriyas, the 10 sense organs and one mind. In this mantra, Prana is called Indriyam. Indriyam, the word Prana is used to call Indriyam. So, Dasha Pranaha means 10 organs, 10 Indriyas, Pancha Jnani Indriyas and Pancha Karma Indriyas put together Dasha Pranaha. 5 sense organs, 5 organs of action. And Atma Eka Dashaha. Here Atma means mind, not Sachidananda Atma. So it is mind. And these 11 faculties are the 11 Rudras. And then why they are called Rudras? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, at the time of death, these 11 depart from the mortal body. So martyad utkramanti, here martyam means sharira, body. So in Bhagavad Gita also, manaham, we already put shashta, manashashtani indriyani, prakritasthani karshati, we have already seen that also in Bhagavad Gita. So we see in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so their mind and jnanendriyas alone are said there. So 1 plus 5 equal to 6. Here including karmendriyas, we have 6 plus 5, 11. So when these 11 organs leave the body, it seems they make the dying person and others, the relatives, the kith and kin, make them cry, make them weep. Therefore, rodayati iti rudraha. Rud means to weep. Rodhiti, to cry. Rodayati, to make others to cry. So rodayati iti rudraha. Therefore, these 11 organs are called Rudras. And these are the second group of Devatas. And what is the third group of Devatas? Given in the next mantra, mantra number 5, let's read. Kathama aditya iti dvadashavai masaham samvatsarasya yeta adityaha yete hidam sarvamadadana yanti te yaditam sarvamadadana yanti. Tasmad Aditya iti. So Shakalya asks, who are the 12 Adityas? And Yajnavalkya answers, the sons belonging to the 12 months of the year. Each month is compared to each son. Even though sun is only one, in each month sun appears different. Sun appears from different angles in different months. So it has different colors, different appearances and all that. Therefore they are called 12 Adityas, Dvadasha Adityas. Now, why they are called Adityas, Yajnavalkya gives an interesting reason also for that. The sun represents the time principle. When sun rises and sets, it means the days are running off. We are getting older and older. So our faculties are gradually taken away. Sun as time, the time principle, takes away all the faculties of humans and all beings. Their youth, the various faculties, their possessions, and finally, that time takes away the very person himself or herself. So, sarvam adadanaha yanti iti adityaha. Adi means take away. Tyaha means going. So, adityaha means take and go away. We cannot hear. Who has taken away the hearing power? Aditya has taken. We cannot see. Same thing. So, ma kuru dana jana yavana garvam harati nimeshat kalas sarvam. Don't be proud because you are young, you are wealthy, you have people. All your health, youth, wealth are being taken away by time, the kala tattvam, every moment. Kalas sarvam nimeshat harati. Ayur nashyati pashyatam pratidinam vyadikshayam yavanam. Pratyayanti. Gata punar na divasaha kalo jagat bakshakaha. Aditya represents the kala tattvam, which takes away everything. So it's called Aditya. Sarvam, so agatanaha yanti iti Aditya. So sarvan rodayati iti rudraha. So vasu atra nihitam vartate iti vasavaha. This is the three definitions for the Adityam, Rudram, and Asama. Mantra number 6, 3.9.6. Katama Indraha, Katama Prajapatiriti, Stanayit Nureva Indraha, Yajna Prajapatiriti, Katama Stanayit Nuriti, Ashaniriti, Katamo Yajna Yiti, Pashava Yiti. So three groups are enumerated, namely Vasus, Rudras and Adityas. In many rituals actually, the Vasu, Rudra, Adityas are repeated, the Shraddhas especially and all the rituals. And these 33 are the 33 main Devatas. Now two more are left, Indra and Prajapati. So Shakalya asks the question, who is Indra and who is Prajapati? And Yajnavalkya gives two definitions. Indraha is Tanayitnuhu and Ashanihi. So both mean the same, thunder. So that lightning and thunder principle is called Indra Devata. Then for Prajapati, for Prajapati also he gives two definitions. Yajna and Pashavaha. Prajapati is the form of ritual, or Yajna, the devata of ritual, and Pashavaha means the animals, especially the cattle, the cows. And Shankaracharya points out, we equate ritual and Pashu because Vedic rituals are not possible without Pashu. That is why Yajnavalkya himself wants all the cows to take away. So the milk, the ghee is needed for Agnihotra and for all Vedic rituals. Panjagavyam is needed. So 5 cow products. Therefore, Yajna is cow and cow is Yajna. So this is the Devata called Prajapati Devata. So with this, Yajnavalkya has enumerated all the 33 Devatas. Now Yajnavalkya has already answered who are the 3,306 Devatas. They are all but expressions or manifestations. So he has enumerated 33. Now Shakalya goes to the third item. Who are the 6 Devatas? Mantra 7. Katamesha diti agnischa prithivicham vayuscha antarikshancham adityascha jauscha yete shad yete hi idam sarvam shaditi. Fairly simple shlokas. So Shakalya asks, who are the 6 Devatas? Now Yajnavalkya enumerates them. If you see, these Devatas have been already mentioned in the Ashtavasus. From Ashtavasus, we now remove the last 2 Devatas. We get the 6 Devatas. From 8, we get 6. That means the last 2 must be included or folded into the other 6. It is like merging, you know, sometimes portfolios are merged. If you want to get rid of one person, number of persons in the ministry or something, then we merge some portfolios and reduce the number of people. So we do all these things so in management. So in the heavenly ministry also, contraction and expansion that takes place. So when we contract, these 6 remain. So when we expand, Ashtavasus come. Suppose if you remove further 3, there'll be only 3. So from 8, removed 2 and it became 6. And from 6, remove 3 again, contraction, we'll have only 3. We are going to see that in the next mantra. Katamete trayo deva iti ime eva trayo lokaha yeshuhi ime sarve devaha iti katamautau dvau va deva viti nam eva pranas cheti katamo dhyadhya iti yoyam pavata iti. Now Shakalya asks, who are those 3 devatas? And Yajnavalkya answers, trayo lokaha. The 3 devatas of the 3 lokas, Prithivi loka, Antariksha loka, and Swarga loka devatas are the ones who will include all the 6 devatas. So the 3 devatas of the 3 lokas, Prithivi devata, Antariksha devata, and Swarga deva are the ones who will include all the 6 devatas. Then Shakalya asks, Katamau dvau devau iti. Who are the 2 devatas? So from 6 to 3 we have come, now from 3 to 2. Yajnavalkya says, Annan chaiva pranascha. Anna devata and prana devata are very important, without which we cannot survive. Then Katamaha adhyadda iti. Shakalya asks, who is the 1.5 devata? Because Yajnavalkya mentioned 1.5 devata. Yajnavalkya answers, Yaha ayam pavate. Vayu devata. Adhyartha Devata. Vayu Devata is 1.5 Devata. Now Shakalya is confused. Why do you say Vayu Devata is 1.5? He is only 1. For this, Yajnavalkya gives answer. In the next mantra, we will read. Mantra number 9. Tadahuhum yadayam eka ivam eva pavatem ata katamadhyartha itim yadasmin nidham sarvamadhyardhnotem not Tenardhyardha iti, Katama eko deva iti, Prana iti, Sabrahma, Taditya chakshate. So Shakalya asks, Vayu is only 1 devata who is moving all around. How do you call him 1.5? And Yajnavalkya answers, the word Adhyardha is used in pun, double meaning. It used in double meaning. So one meaning of Adhyardha is 1.5. There is another meaning also, one who nourishes or sustains all. Derived from the root Rid. Rid, from that only Samriddhi has come. So Rid Dhatum, so Riddhyati. In Achyan Gita also, there is Riddham, Rajyam. So all those things have come. So here adhyardha means adi riddhyati anena iti. All people are sustained, all people survive, and all people live and grow because of adhyardha. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself tells sarvam adhyardhanot. It's actually, it is a Vedic form for Riddhata again. So ardhanot, everybody grows and nourished because of Vayu Devata. So Vayu Devata is called adhyardha. So one meaning is nourishing Devata. And another meaning is one and a half. So Yajnavalkya says, it is as though one and a half. It's not one and a half, it is as though one and a half. Now Shakalya asks, what is that one ultimate Devata who alone express as adhyardha, as one and a half? 2, 3, 6, 3,306 and anantaha. So now he asks, katamaha ekaha devaha iti. Yajnavalkya answers, pranaha iti. That is the prana tattvam. The very life principle, without life, all other faculties are useless. Since prana is ultimate, with all faculties included, prana gets the title. Sa Brahma. So Brahma means the infinite, the limitless. It is not satyam jnanam anantam Brahma here, it is in this context. So here, one who includes all other devatas, the one who includes all other devatas, it's a Brahma. Samashti. Samatti Devata, Hiranyagarbha Devata, that kind of thing. So prana or Brahma is called Hiranyagarbha Devata, and it is given another title here, Chat. Chat itya chakshate. Chat means paroksha devata. So here Hiranyagarbha is the principle. So which is not perceptibly available. So it is paroksha, it is not perceptibly available, and one who is paroksha. With this first part of this Brahmanam is over. And here afterwards, the second part is going to come. In this part, we are going to see the second part subsequently. So in the first 9 mantras, we saw the Hiranyagarbha's glory, which is Hiranyagarbha alone appears in the form of all devatas. Sarva devata rupena Hiranyagarbha eva vartate. And Yajnavalkya points out that Hiranyagarbha alone is Eka Devata, and he alone appears as 1.5, 2, 3, 6, 3,306, and finally Ananta Devata, Devata Rupena. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha expanded is Ananta Devatas, and Hiranyagarbha contracted is Eka Devata. That is the Mahima of Hiranyagarbha. And in this portion, the word Hiranyagarbha is not used. Instead, Yajnavalkya uses the word pranaha. So Hiranyagarbha, prana, brahma, chat are all different names of Hiranyagarbha. So this is the glory of Hiranyagarbha. Now from the next mantra onwards, that is mantra number 10 to 17, there are 8 mantras, we get Hiranyagarbha upasana. Hiranyagarbha upasana, there are 8 mantras, I think it's a group of 8 mantras, I'm going to club them together. And also give maybe a table or form of how each one of the devatas, they represent so many things and all. Maybe I think it may take more time than what we are left with, another 7 minutes. So what I will do is I will perhaps stop here and then take up that portion in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya pragatilinasya parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu. All right.